From the heart of Broadway, you know the rest. Hey guys, it's Shannon Young here for Podzilla 1985. Sitting here by myself in the dark at our quote-unquote studios in Gaming Grounds at 709 Broadway. And you're probably wondering, Shannon, why are you sitting alone in the dark at 709 Broadway here at Gaming Grounds? Well, I don't have an easy answer for you. I just kind of had a rough day and wanted to talk a little bit about it in this thing that I called the Why of Sly. Of course, I stole that name from Futurama, the Why of Fry. I think that's an episode that I like. It's not one that makes me cry, although most of them do. So why did I have a rough day? What do I want to talk about? Where to begin? First off, thank you for listening to this sure-to-be low-rated, low-listen-to episode, because who wants to hear Shannon Young talk for upwards of 4 or 5 hours is what I'm shooting for here. Who wants to hear that? Not a lot of people. There's like three people, Lindsay, Chelsea, and maybe Asa, but only because he thinks I'm suicidal, which I'm not, Asa, by the way, but every day brings me a little bit closer. So thank you once again for listening. I really appreciate it. If you have any interest at all in what's going on in my head, first off, you should be frightened. And second, of course, thank you. Now, before I get to why I'm doing this, why I'm sitting alone in the dark, why I sent Jesse Kimball and Ben and Allie away when we were having a great conversation here at the store and having a good time, and why I just kind of wanted to be alone when I did this. We'll talk about that here in a little while. But first, I asked you guys, you got any questions for Shannon? Post them on my Facebook. No Tanner, no Zach, no Hunter Hendricks, just Shannon Young. And here's what you guys came up with, all like six of you. I won't take that as a testament to my importance. At least if I did, I wouldn't tell you. Anyway, let's start at the top. Michael Branham wants to know, when is TurtleCon, and when are we playing Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis? Well, Michael Branham, one of my new good friends from Multipixel, cheap plug. I can do that when I don't have three other people here squawking about God knows what. TurtleCon is whenever you pop in a DVD, Blu-ray, or VHS of Ninja Turtles 1, 2, TMNT, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie from last year. Ninja Turtles 3 is not acceptable, nor will it ever be acceptable. And if I can go off on a tangent here, I have a huge problem with calling Ninja Turtles 3 Turtles in Time. Now, originally, they did not call it Turtles in Time. I've got a lot of shit over this in the past from certain people. Go look up your history books. It's in there. It was not called Turtles in Time. It was just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, I don't know if they're trying to cash in on the Super Nintendo craze 20 years later, but it's now called Turtles in Time, and that offends me because that movie is horrific. And if you don't believe me, the Angry Video Game Nerd did a very good job roasting it. I suggest you go watch it and watch more of the Angry Video Game Nerd. Once you get past the character, it's a pretty entertaining show. I want to thank Justin Dombach for turning me on to that because I used to make fun of it, and now I appreciate it more. No, but seriously though, when is TurtleCon? You know, we really do need to have TurtleCon. We got Ninja Turtles up there in the window, the lovely alley. Put that up there. I would love to do it. I love Ninja Turtles. I've loved Ninja Turtles since I was a child. I still love Ninja Turtles. So I'm all up for it. Now, as it relates to Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, I don't know what that is. You keep talking about it in between talking about your guns, and I don't know what it is. But you bring it in here, we'll find a way to play it. And moving on to my good friend, personal friend, not even local celebrity. This dude's just a celebrity. Hunter Hendricks, who are your ultimate Podzilla... What? Who are your ultimate Podzilla goal and dream guests? Realistic and unrealistic, basically. Well, that's a good question. realistically, and I probably already missed the opportunity to do this, I really did want Mike Hearns on the show. I don't know if it's passed or not, but he was going to do the ribbon cutting at Stacked, I think it is, over here in Cape Girardeau. And I'm a big fan of Mike Hearns. He did a great Superman short called, what was it called? That's going to drive me crazy if I don't think of this. Now I got to go look it up. But basically, he did a Superman, World's Finest. See, just when you give up, folks, that's when you think of it. So never give up. Although, to be fair, trying is the first step towards failure. Don't forget that. But he was in World's Finest as Superman, and he's one of the only people that genuinely looks like Superman. So I would have loved to have had him on the show. He was also on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He was on American Gladiators. I really wanted to get him in and talk about whatever he wanted to talk about. I would do whatever he wanted, intellectually, emotionally, or sexually, whatever he has in mind. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that because either the time has passed or I just don't have the clout that a certain Hunter Hendricks has to get him on the show. Other dream guests that I could have, that I'd love to have, I actually had one of my dream guests on Blogzilla 1985, and that was Stanton Friedman, the world's most renowned ufologist. I had him on there. I did an interview with him, and I was very disappointed. He's a smart guy, and I'm sure he just doesn't have time for people like me. You know, low rent, can't really do anything for his career. So I understand. I get it. But it was still pretty disappointing. Did have Christine Adams on there. She's a model named iDivil is what she goes by, or iDivi. I never really figured out if it was an I or an L, whatever. But she's this really pretty naked Asian girl that I became friends with and interviewed her. So that was really good. Not really a dream one, but she kickstarted this whole thing. If not for her, you guys wouldn't be listening to this right now, because I never would have gotten Blogzilla off the ground, and then we never would have translated that into Podzilla. So I want to thank her for sure, and I have many, many times, and I continue to do so. The ultimate dream guest, if I could get anybody in the world to do Podzilla 1985, who would it be? Man, that's a hard one, because I have a lot of heroes, and there's just not enough time to talk to all of them. I would love to have Hulk Hogan on the show. As cliched as it is, I find that man to be interesting, and I'd love to talk to him about his career and about the things that have happened to him. I would also like to talk to Kate Upton, but I wouldn't do a lot of talking. I would do a lot of staring. And once a certain somebody calls the cops on me I don't want to get into that. You know, I've got enough warrants out as it is for the things that I do. So what is the goal for Podzilla 1985? A lot of people think that I'm doing this because I want to be rich or I want to be famous. That is absolutely not why I'm doing this. In fact, that's part of the reason I'm so hesitant to do the crowdfunding, is because I don't want it to turn into a money thing. This is not for money or fame. I do this because I want to talk. I studied journalism in college. I've been a journalist my entire life. I have a need to be a journalist. We did Blogzilla 1985, and it was a success. I mean, I think it went well. I was very proud of it, but eventually it got to be where I didn't want to do it anymore, and I went back and forth. I started Podzilla so I could continue doing journalist stuff, and, you know, I wish I had a drink here. To be fair, print is dead. I think someone said once, a great man. I thought podcasting was the next step in the evolution of journalism, but apparently I missed the boat by about 5 years. So who knows? This time next year, you might be watching Tubezilla 1985, which I think we actually have that in the works already, so I don't want to say too much about it. What is the end goal for Podzilla 1985? It's just to do this. It's to talk to people. It's to be entertaining. And if you want to be honest, pull the curtain back a little bit, I'm a pretty fragile person, and there is a part of me that really needs that confirmation that I deserve to be on this planet. I don't know if how much a lot of you know about me, where I grew up, how I was raised, what kind of mental and emotional things I struggle with daily, but there is a deep, deep rooted feeling of insecurity and inferiority, to be quite honest. I've dated girls and had their parents tell my parents that I was trash. There's not a lot of people that like me, despite what you may think or what I may tell you. So every time I post something and people say, good job, I enjoy hearing what you have to say, it makes me feel human. It makes me feel like I'm more than just a bunch of corny jokes and foul language. So that's the end goal. The end goal is to keep myself alive and keep myself sane, because it's not as easy as it sounds. Trust me, I've been doing this for 33 years. You think it would get easier after so long, but it absolutely does not. Also, I want to point out that I am alone here in the studio. It is dark, and I have heard noises. And I'm not talking about the usual, well, we can write that off kind of noises. I have heard beeps, as if people are turning on these systems. It's a little creepy. So we're going to move on to the next question. Hunter, I hope that answered your question. I know it absolutely did not. But if you can take anything away from what I just said, it's that I need to do this. This isn't something I want to do. It's something I need to do. And if it's not this, it would be something else. And when I'm gone from this place, not through death, let's not get too depressing. When I'm gone from Gaming Grounds, when I'm gone from Southeast Missouri, and I pass this show on to Jesse Kimball or Hunter Hendricks or Zach Price or whoever, you can rest assured that I'll do something else in the future. I have to have a reason to exist. I can't be one of those people that just does his day-to-day thing, goes to the bar on the weekend, has fun. I don't have fun. I can think of very few times I've had fun. I exist to have a reason to exist. It's a vicious cycle, and goddamn, boy, I wish I could get away from it, but I can't. So until the day that I can find that happiness, I will be here. And that is the goal of Podzilla 1985, is for me to exist. Okay, let's move on to something happier, maybe. Chelsea said, which moon is your favorite sailor, and why is it Goku? Oh, fuck you, Chelsea. Fuck you, and fuck Goku, and fuck Zach Kyrgios. No, I kid. Why do I hate Dragon Ball so much? Dragon Ball, and I just heard the beep again. This is a little creepy. Anyway, even the ghosts don't care what I have to say. Dragon Ball is a lot like Rick and Morty to me. It was shoved down my throat, and a lot of people say, you got to watch this, you got to watch this, it's the greatest thing ever. And I probably would have liked Dragon Ball if not for the fact that happened. Same thing with Halo. I might have liked Halo if people didn't tell me I should like Halo. So to answer your question, which moon is my favorite? My favorite is the wizard that came from the moon. In honor of Peter Dinklage, who they took out of Destiny. Who makes it? Bungie. Bungie, you bastards. I played the new Destiny version. I heard Nolan North as the ghost. And you know what? For all the shit he got, I prefer Peter Dinklage. So that's my guy. That's my moon right there. Close second would be... what? Sailor Moon, I guess. You're not giving me many options. Fuck. You're so stupid. Zach Price, my good friend, who was as much a reason to kickstart the show as anything else, said, where do you think the show would be without our local celebrity, Hunter Hendricks? Hunter Hendricks is curious about Hunter Hendricks. Well, let me tell you about Hunter Hendricks. Hunter Hendricks and I worked together at GameStop, but we never saw each other. We tried to figure out the other day where we actually met and how we became friends, and we can't. There's no history. It's like someone flashy thinged us, and we don't remember. Where would the show be without Hunter Hendricks? Nowhere. Hunter Hendricks is, again, like Zach and like Louis, because Louis was there on that first show. He is as much of a reason for us doing this as anything else. He provided the Real Rock Studio for us for the first show. He showed me how to work the mixer that we have here at the store. I mean, Hunter Hendricks has guided me and mentored me through this. And he's already done this. The fact that he doesn't need to do this show and is still excited to be a part of it means so much to me. And I don't think he realizes how much that means to me, that he wants to do Pro Wrestling Unscripted with me. It's not that I'm begging him to do it. He wants to be a part of it. And to have somebody like Hunter Hendricks, who is respected and is admired and is a celebrity, to have him want to do that and to be a part of it, man, that means the world to me. So where would the show be without Hunter Hendricks? Nowhere. It would be me still on Blogzilla, posting an article every couple of weeks, hoping to stay relevant. So, Hunter, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Zach, as well. Thank you, guys. Thank everyone. Everyone that's a part of the Podzilla crew. It's kind of like The Simpsons. It's blown up to this point that I can't really go over the list right now. But there's so many people. And thank you guys so much for being a part of this. the fact that you're enthusiastic and that you guys want to do this, again, it means so much to me. This is something I wanted to do, but I was afraid it wouldn't be successful. And even if five people listen to this show and they love it and you guys want to be a part of it, that means it's worth it. So thank you. Moving on now, Cody Sandducky. Another guy, I'm trying to remember how I met him because I feel like I've known Cody forever. And I can't think of how I know him. So, Cody, if you can remember, email me at podzilla1985@hotmail.com. Yeah. Cody says, is a sports show ever going to be a part of the network? Ask the guy who was supposed to host it or something. Yeah, what's up with that, man? Because I got a lot I want to talk about with you. You saw the high school, I believe, players in Texas that nailed the coach in the or nailed the referee in the football game. Where we can talk about Ronda Rousey. We can talk about other sports related things like the home team and how many baskets they're going to shoot. Where are you, Cody? Podzilla 1985 is waiting for you. We've got the Tanner show. Jesse's got two shows. I think I've got like six back and forth. We need the sports show on there. It's not all nerds, sex, and rock and roll, man. We need that sports stuff. So whenever you are ready to sit down and be a hero, let me know. Who liked that status, by the way? Because I'm going to give them hell. Tanner Calvin and Hunter Hendricks. Okay, I can't talk about Hunter because I just kissed his ass. And I can't talk about Tanner because he's so fucking fragile. No, I love you, Tanner. I really do. We need to talk. I'll buy you a drink. Hey, Asa Gray. We talked about Asa earlier. Asa is another guy. I can kind of remember where we met. It was through Gaming Grounds and through wrestling. And Asa has been one of my very good friends ever since then. And, man, he and I have been through some rough moments separately, but together. A lot of sadness in our friendship. And I think that kind of is what binds us together. So let's see what Asa had to say. Is there a topic you refuse to recover? Is there a topic you refuse to cover? Why? And is there a topic you've wanted to discuss but haven't had a chance to yet? Zach said depression. Asa asked if his name was Shannon, then insinuated that it's John Cena. Love that meme. Never get tired of it. Unexpected John Cena on Reddit is probably the best thing about Reddit. Is there a topic that I refuse to cover? There's a bunch of them. Let's get into a couple of them here. I have a problem with the age of consent. Oh, I can feel you guys grumbling about this one and saying, oh, Shannon likes the little girls. No, it's not that. I just think it's ridiculous that in this country, if you are 17 or whatever, the 16 and whatever the legal age is, if you're 16 years old and 11 months and 30 days or 29 days or whatever, and the government tells you, you absolutely cannot make your own decisions. We are going to watch out for you every step of the way. And then the moment you pass that mark and turn 17 or 18 or whatever the legal age is, and then they go, fuck it, do what you want. Fuck your life up as much as you want. We don't care anymore. I just think that's wrong. So that's something I haven't covered yet that I want to in the future. But when you want to talk about stuff like that, it gets awkward because people think the wrong things. They think that you're a pervert or that you're you want to have sex with little girls. People are simple. And I have a very low tolerance of people, and I don't like them, Fonzie. Stop following me around, for Christ's sake. Is there a topic that I refuse to cover? Religion. I don't want to cover religion as a whole. I know we've talked about religious things, and I've had my arguments, but I'd hate to be the guy that actually tries to tackle religion. I wrote an article on Blogzilla once that it was called God's Gone, Baby Gone. And I made the argument that in some ways I think that God absolutely exists and that he absolutely doesn't care about us anymore. Because look at us. Look at the people we've become. Look at who we are. Look at how we treat each other. We kill each other. We shoot each other. We rape each other. We put each other in the dirt. We lie. We manipulate. We do awful things to each other. And you think that any God that is merciful would show, you know, well, maybe if he's merciful, he would forgive us. But Jesus, there has to be a point where even God would go, fuck this. And he wipes his hand clean. And I got some shit for that story because there's really three versions of Shannon when it comes to religion. There is the Shannon that believes there probably is a God and is trying to find him actively. That's probably the most painful version. Because that's the Shannon that prays and begs God for attention and gets nothing. And there's two ways to think of it. Either I'm not doing it the right way or three ways. I'm not doing it the right way, God doesn't exist, or God hates me. And I'm pretty sure it's the latter, because I've done some really terrible things to some good people. And there's a lot of things that you guys don't know about me that I've done and probably never will, because I'm fairly good at keeping secrets when it could expose me as a terrible, terrible person. So there's that version of Shannon. There's the Shannon that believes God exists and has given up on us. That seems likely, because it's impossible to think that this universe was created on its own from nothing. I mean, science says that everything comes from something. So you're telling me that everything came from nothing, or that these atoms or whatever they are formed, the Big Bang, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there had to be a creator somewhere. And if there is a creator, where is he now? Well, he probably gave up on us. He probably hates who we are, and he fucking bailed, and who can blame him? And if you go, God can't do that, why not? God can do whatever the fuck he wants. That's why he's God. That's why he's God. And then there's the other version of Shannon that's just flat out atheist and goes, you know what? God doesn't exist. That is a fairy tale. That is impossible. And that's also a sad Shannon, because I have my biggest fear in life is death. Now, if you can imagine what it's like to be afraid of the one thing that you cannot stop, try living with that. Try going to sleep at night with pain in your chest, with aches, with not having any parents, with just about everyone that you've loved, you know, like really loved on a family level has died, and you're alone. And then you think there is no God, and that when you die, nothing happens. You just cease to exist. It's terrifying. And you lay awake thinking about that all night. You don't go to sleep till 4 in the morning, because you can't stop thinking that you're 33 and you're only getting older every single day. And in the future, you're just going to keep getting older. And then someday you're going to cease to exist. That everything you've done, everything you are, will come to an end. And life goes on and you don't. That's a terrifying subject. Part of the reason I don't want to talk about that on the air, more so than I am right now, is because it just scares the hell out of me. I don't want to know, because if I knew, and it's not the answer I'm looking for, I would just turn into a quivering mass on the floor, put it that way. Anything else that I haven't covered that I absolutely would never cover? No, I don't think so. I will talk about any topic. I mean, you can look at our history already. We've talked politics, we've talked wrestling, video games, murder, suicide, racism. I like to talk about things, but religion is probably the one subject that I just cannot do. Depression, I can do, but I feel like I do it every day, so I get bored of that one. Chelsea followed up her question with a comment saying, "This is a good one." Thank you, Chelsea. You were as helpful as Nate. Tanner said, "Why are people not ready for a paranormal show?" Ah, let me tell you about that one. So Tanner and I, originally when we were putting together this whole Podzilla 1985 thing, we had this great idea. I wanted to do a show more akin to Coast to Coast AM, which if you guys have never listened to Coast to Coast AM, it's a great overnight talk show hosted by George Norrie. It used to be hosted by Art Bell. Art Bell, was that the wrestler? Oh God, this is going to drive me crazy. I'm pretty sure it's Art Bell. Yeah, Art Bell, we'll go with that. But it's hosted by Art Bell, and they talk about everything from, again, politics, gun control, and then they talk a lot about ghosts, UFOs, the paranormal, demons, stuff that I'm really interested in that you can't find anywhere else. I mean, you can't watch this stuff generally. So I wanted to do a show like that, and Tanner is also into the paranormal, and we decided that our Tanner Thursday show we could turn into a paranormal show. And we had Tanner on for the first two or three episodes of that, and we talked about ghosts, we talked about UFOs, we talked about conspiracy theories. Now, to be fair, we didn't have a giant audience back then. We still don't have a giant audience, but we have enough of one to keep doing it. But back then, we didn't even have that. So those segments weren't really catching on. Is it because people aren't ready for the paranormal stuff? They just don't believe? Or maybe we were just terrible back then? Go back and listen to them, and you tell me. But Tanner, I think they're ready for it, and I'm excited about Terrifying Tanner Thursdays. That is coming up this October on the Podzilla 1985 Network. And the big thing is we're going to go to an actual supposed haunted place, and we're going to record live there. I'm excited about that. We're going to take Asa and Jesse with us because we want them. They're not believers. They're non-believers. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe they can experience something for themselves, because the first time I experienced something paranormal, I still remember it like it was yesterday, walking down the hallway and watching my father walk directly toward me. I jump out of the way because he's getting so close. I look back and I say, you know, damn, Dad, you got to watch it, man. Nothing there. This was not an illusion. This was not, I was tired. I was not high at the time, nor ever. But he was there. I saw someone. So I have no doubt that there's something out there. I don't know quite how to explain it. But I'm hoping Jesse and Asa can experience something similar. And they, you know, maybe have a newfound respect for it. And I believe that is the end of the questions. So for the six people that always ask questions, thank you. I appreciate it. I like to talk. Shannon like talk. Oh, God. You know what? I just looked at Nate Smith. He's adorable. Y'all talking about me on my Facebook. Asa, who is a dick, said, you're so vain. He posted the Carly Simon song, and Nate replied with, not having a pleasant time among little liberal political thoughts. Who do we know that fits that? Jesse posted, fuck you. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Nate, goddamn. You know, there are so many times that I've defended him, and I've told people, look, he's a good guy. He's just misunderstood. He's a little messed up in the head, because up until about a year ago, when he first started hanging out here, I don't think he ever had an independent thought. Well, Nate, every time you open your mouth online, you are exposing how ignorant you are. I don't know if you know that. I still like you. Don't get me wrong. I like you, Nate. You're a good kid. You and I we've made Simpsons jokes. We'd watch TV together. I think you are a friend. Now, with that said, you're one of the biggest idiots I've ever met in my life. The fact that you can't take criticism, that you can't defend yourself, and your arguments are the worst kind, you probably shouldn't be on social media. I remember when you got Facebook, I thought, this is going to be rough. I never knew it was going to be so rough. So, Nate, please, for the sake of everybody, you know, I wish I could Jedi mind trick you right now. Go home and rethink your life. Enough about Nate. I gave that man more fame than he deserves on this show. And with the questions out of the way, let's get to the topic that I wanted to talk about. Thank you guys for the questions. I appreciate it. I hope you learned a little something about me, about the show, and maybe you were entertained. So how did I have a rough day today? Fuck. You know, talking so much about this with you guys is kind of taking a lot of the venom out of me. But one of the things that really pissed me off today is, you all saw Kim Davis got out of jail. I said I wasn't going to talk any more about her, because the more we talk about her, the more fame we give her, the worse it becomes and the bigger issue it becomes and the bigger martyr she becomes. But when I see her going out on stage like a soldier coming back from a war and getting a bigger hero's welcome than a lot of soldiers get, that makes me sick. That makes me sick that there are people out there, and I'm not going to name names, but you can kind of guess who it is, that still think that person is a hero and that person is supposed to be idolized. It makes me sick. There are people out there doing real things for real people on real issues. They're not sitting in a prison getting richer by the second, because the moment they get out, they're going to walk out to Eye of the fucking Tiger with Mike Huckabee, the fucking biggest, one of the biggest tools in the Republican Party. And they're going to come out there and look like a hero. That is ridiculous. And that made me very, very angry. And it put me in a bad mood to start with. You see all the crosses in the video. And everyone's holding hands. They're chanting kumbaya. They're fucking jerking each other off in a spiritual sense. And Jesus Christ. If God was here, if he wasn't busy doing whatever or not existing, whatever, I'm sure he would flip her the biggest bird she's ever seen, because what a fucking joke she is. And if you are still in the camp that believes she's doing anything other than exploiting you, you really need to reassess your life too, like Mr. Nate Smith. Yeah, I don't know what else I can really say about that, other than the fact that it's ridiculous. She's out of jail now. Can we please go back to not knowing who she is? She's like Nicole Arbour. Now, if you don't know who Nicole Arbour is, she posted a video on YouTube yesterday or maybe the day before called Dear Fat People, which was basically a backhanded fat-shaming video. And if you don't know who Nicole Arbour is, go ahead and look her up on the internet, because I didn't know who the fuck she was either. She's nobody. She's a quote-unquote YouTube personality like the other 9 billion YouTube personalities, including myself. Now, the difference between me and Nicole Arbour is I'm not a failed actress. I'm not even a failed actor yet. I haven't tried. So until I try, I cannot fail. And I have never posed nude in film before. She has. If nothing else, look her up. She's got nice breasts. So there's that. I guess her point is valid. She's attractive. And if you're attractive, I guess you can talk about other people who you deem to be unattractive. Except, no, you can't. Because if you've never been overweight, if you've never been obese and struggled with that, you really shouldn't open your mouth about whose fault it is and how it's their fault and why it's their fault. Boogie2988, I think is his official title, or Francis, or however you know him, did some really great videos about his struggle with weight loss. And you should go watch him to get into the mind of an actual person who deals with it and hear what they have to say about it versus some skinny little blonde bitch who thinks that she's funny and just wants to get the attention that's going to come from it. And she did. She got exactly what she wanted. She gets her 15 minutes of fame that she couldn't get by showing her tits in some movie that no one's ever fucking seen. And it's despicable. It's despicable that she's getting this fame. They shut her YouTube channel down. Why is it okay to make fun of fat people? We're running out of people that we can make fun of. We can't make fun of gay people anymore. Thank God. Because you shouldn't make fun of gay people. The word gay should never be used in a derogatory sense. It should not be used to make fun of people. We can't make fun of ethnic people anymore. Again, thank God we don't make fun of ethnic people. You're born black. You're born Chinese. You have no choice over that. There are people that say you are born gay. You have no choice over that. It's just who you are. Well, it's still okay to think that fat people are only fat because they eat too much. They're porkers, and they eat all the time, and they don't exercise, and they're disgusting people. And fuck you if you think that way, because that's not how it is. I myself have one meal a day. I don't overeat, and I definitely need to lose some pounds. But if you think that I'm just sitting here all day snacking my fat face with Debbie cakes, moon pies, and whatnots, then fuck you. You have no idea what it's like. It's easy for people that don't know the situation to throw stones and act like armchair quarterbacks. But until you're in that person's shoes, keep your fucking mouth shut. And Nicole Arbour should keep her mouth shut because she has no idea what she's talking about. She got her 15 minutes of fame. Now she can fuck off and go back into obscurity along with, I hope to God, Kim Davis soon. And of course, if you disagree with me, email me at podzilla1985@hotmail.com. I'm paying Tanner to watch those emails, so for Christ's sake, give him some work. He hardly ever appears on Tanner Thursday. No, Tanner, that's a joke. That's a joke. Please don't get upset. Tanner is a little bitter about these jokes we make about him, but it's all in love. It's all in love, my brother. We have been through too much to give it up now, so stay with me. Stay with me, Tanner. Same for you, Jordan. Miss you. Come back and see me. Why else am I upset? The big thing is, if you know the store and you know the gentleman, there's a gentleman named Fonzie that comes into the store, and he's been coming in every single day since we opened. The few times he hasn't come in are a gift from God, and there are cherubs and Kim Davises running around with crosses to bless me. Fonzie has been coming in for about a year and a half, almost every day. And he's a good guy, nice guy. I won't say anything bad about Fonzie. He's mentally handicapped. And I don't know if he's schizophrenic or what it is, but there's definitely something wrong with him mentally. So I try not to make fun of him for that reason too, because that's not funny. But he just doesn't seem to grasp the concept that you can't come in all the time and talk to me while I'm trying to do my job. It's difficult enough for me to do my job when you have video games and the internet accessible at any point. So for someone to stand there and talk to you all day, it's a bigger distraction. Now you might say, but Shannon, I've been in the store. I've seen you with lots of people hanging out and talking to you. Well, yeah, sometimes. But this is every day. And this is for extended periods of time. So today, I'm being followed around. I'm being talked to. And I realize that I can't talk to this person the way I want to talk to him. I can't say, Fonzie, leave me alone. Stop following me. I don't like people. I don't like to talk to people. I generally don't like to be around them. I can't say that to him. I have to walk on eggshells. An incident happened where I had to get angry with Fonzie because of what happened. And 20 seconds into my rant to him, when I have to confront him on this issue, he looks like he's going to cry. I immediately feel guilty. And I remember I'm an adult. And unfortunately, as an adult, we have to wear our adult clothes and we have to speak like an adult. And there are some things you can't say to certain people. Now, I only use Fonzie as an example because we all know people in our lives, in my life especially, that we talk to in a certain way, even though we don't like them, because we are adults. And I am as political as anyone else when it comes to this life. I have gone from an anarchist and a rebel to a politician in a suit because I have to in my line of work. But that doesn't change the fact that I bite my tongue and I can't respond the way I want to respond to these people. And God, sometimes I really want to. I want to lash out. I want to burn as many bridges as I possibly can just so people will leave me alone because I'm not very social. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't surround myself with people. And it's not that I don't appreciate them. I absolutely appreciate them. I appreciate the people that want to come in here and hang out with me. But my mind works weird and my heart works weird. And I just don't enjoy it a lot of the time. And that's not a hint that, hey guys, fuck off. Because I would probably be lonely without you. But at the same time, I don't know. It's hard to talk about because I don't want to break anybody's hearts, but at the same time, I just want to be left alone. And I do this in all aspects of life. I bite my tongue so much when it comes to that stuff that I sometimes don't even know who I am anymore. I feel like I'm someone else. I'm just a talking head in a suit. And that's very disappointing to me because I've always prided myself on being original and honest and all of those great things that people assume about me. I've realized, especially lately, that I don't like me. I don't like the person that I am. I like the person that people think I am. I like the person who's also named Shannon, except it's spelled S-E-A-N-A-N with that funny little symbol that makes it really hard for Marcos to get my name right on my pizzas. I like him more than S-H-A-N-N-O-N because S-H-A-N-N-O-N has been around for 33 years and hasn't really done much of anything other than ruin every good thing he's ever had by being a liar, a cheater, unfaithful, and all those other things that would make you hate him if you knew about it. But he does a really good job at hiding it sometimes. But S-E-A-N-N-A-N, that guy's great. He's a star. He's a rock star. He talks so well. He speaks so well, I should say. He's smart. He's funny. He's always got a well-timed quip. He's popular. People come to see him. And he's great. The character of Shannon Young is one of the greatest characters that I've ever imagined. But the real Shannon Young is a lot different. He spells his name different. And he sits alone in the dark at the store so he can record his innermost thoughts to the 15 people that'll listen. And it's not so much a cry for help as it's just a confessional in a lot of ways. Because I had a bad day and I just wanted to vent, I guess. So there's really nothing important about this show. It's just me telling you that I appreciate you enjoying the character that I portray in everyday life, but the real me is something you really don't want to deal with. And I get that. I get that when people avoid me, when people come in at just the right time to where I'm leaving and they can talk to other people instead. I get that when I'm ditched for anyone else. We're not invited to things. And I understand. I am at this point absolving anyone that's done that to me or people that don't understand and think, well, this guy's full of shit. His life's great. He's so popular. You don't know, man. You don't know, Louis. You don't know what it's like. So if you're looking for a point to this, there really is none. Like I said, I just wanted to vent. I wish I could portray the character of Shannon Young all day, every day. I wish I could take him home with me at night and be that way with Lindsay when all the time. I want to be the happy, romantic guy that buys her stuff and, you know, cleans the house and does little special things for her because she is so great. I'd like to be the Shannon that's friendly and funny to his friends and, you know, really makes them want to spend time with him. But I can't be that guy all the time. And I realize that when I'm talking to Fonzie and I want to yell and I want to scream and I want to just tear into him and say, you get away from me, get away from me because you don't know me and I don't want you to know me. And that's frustrating. As someone that puts himself out there online and in the store all the time, for people to just assume who he is, knowing who he really is, that's frustrating. And it's painful. I just realized I've rambled for 40 minutes about next to nothing. So if you could take anything away from this, it's that I'm complicated. My life is complicated. And if I'm not exactly the person that you want me to be, I apologize. I don't really know who that person is anymore. What I do know is that through Podzilla 1985, I've rediscovered myself in a lot of ways. So I guess this is a confessional slash testimonial about the power of interaction through Podzilla 1985 and how this webcast, this podcast, has really enriched my life and how appreciative I am that you would listen to it and care what we have to say week in and week out about important things and things that are so ridiculous, it makes me wonder why anybody listens at all. So thank you so much for listening to this, for hearing me vent for just a little while, and maybe getting a better understanding of who I am, where I'm coming from, where I've been, where I'm going, where Podzilla's going, which is not very far, at least not right now. So we had this thing where we created an extra Facebook, and we laughed about it and we joke about it, and I give Tanner and Jesse shit about it. But in all honesty, I was pretty mad that here's this thing that I created, Podzilla 1985, that I created, that I'm being invited to be an administrator on my own Facebook that I didn't create. I got a little upset about that. And for that, for getting upset about that, and I'm still a little upset about it, but you know what? It is what it is. Tanner, Jesse, it's not a big deal, and don't worry about it. You know, I know you guys think that I'm angry or that I'm holding a grudge or anything like that, but I'm really not. I look forward to all of us getting together and building upon the blocks that we've already set down for Podzilla 1985, and we're going to do better. We're going to have a one name to put this under. We're going to have one Facebook in the future to put this under. We're going to be doing a lot of great things with Podzilla in the next couple of weeks and months, and I hope you guys stick with it. I hope you invite your friends to listen, because we've got a lot of great listeners that have come in recently that have even mentioned to me on the street when I see them, "Hey, I love your show. Great show." And again, rewind back to the beginning of this podcast so you can realize just how much that means to me. Because even though the person of Shannon Young is just about as depressing as it can get, stuff like that will bring him up and makes him a little bit more like the person he wants to be. So thank you. Thank all of you. And that's it. That's really all I wanted to say. So I'm going to wrap this up. It actually didn't go as bad as I thought it would. At least I hope not. Normally, whenever we have other people here with us, I can talk and talk and talk and make jokes and quips, and I'm funny. And this time I wasn't very funny, and there's no one here to play off of. But it wasn't nearly as terrifying as when I'm home with a microphone in my face and I can barely utter out one sentence before I completely clam up, sweat profusely, and have two or three strokes. So this went well. Thank you so much for listening. Please stay tuned to Podzilla 1985 in the future as we make these great changes that will make this even better, because I do have the support of some really great people out there. And even though Shannon Young is a flawed man who isn't always the best person he could be, at the end he really appreciates the people that help me, the people that support me, and the people that listen. I even appreciate the people that don't like me, and there's a bunch of you, you know? Haters gonna hate, I'm gonna keep it 100, eat the booty like groceries, diss dick. What else we got? Go out on a limit. I can't think of all the catchphrases. We'll put them on t-shirts. That'll be the next thing, is the merchandising. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow, I believe, with nothing, because Marvelous Jesse and Chris is on a 2-week schedule now. So yeah, enjoy the day off. We'll be back on Thursday with Tanner Thursday. I'm sure Tanner's got something cool up his sleeve if he hasn't quit the show, because I'm such a dick. We'll see you then. You guys have a great night. Thanks for listening. And, I appreciate it. Have a good one.